Chapter 10. While my initial inclination was to head straight toward the massive dots highlighted by my auric sensibility, I knew that would be silly, because who knew how many ants I'd have to face at once when I got there. So, instead, I scouted out the territory around me and spent the next several hours hunting and stalking the giant scout ants busily surveying the area. There were two reasons for this. Reason one was simple. More kills meant more experience. Reason two was a bit more nuanced, because I had a hunch that if anyone knew where I could find food and water, it would be the giant scout ants. That had proved to be a fool's errand, though, because after I'd eliminated about 20 of the buggers, I hadn't managed to find any food or water sources. On the plus side, though, I had gotten myself to level 4, which had given me an additional 6 stat points to add to my build. I wound up dumping just over half into intelligence for a couple of reasons that were mostly related to aura infusion. See, I could use that ability to increase my strength and speed, and the power of that ability was largely based on my intelligence. That meant that as long as I had aura available to use, I could basically boost all 3 stats by boosting my intelligence. Sure, if I ran out of aura, I'd be in trouble. But by increasing my intelligence, I also increased my available aura. So, win-win. Even better, through constantly using the skill, I'd managed to raise it to skill level 2. And 3 was right around the corner. It made me happy because it meant I didn't need to use the skill point I got every level to increase it. And, better still, every level seemed to make it cost a bit less to use while also granting me more damage or speed. Unfortunately, while I would have loved to put all my points into intelligence, I was forced to put the rest into fortitude because by raising the stat, I could decrease my body's need for trivial things like food, water, and air. While air seemed to be in plentiful supply, both food and water were in short supply. Unless I wanted to try eating raw ant, of course. Truthfully, I'd have been more worried about food and water if I was planning on staying here a while. But given the number of enemies I could see on my overlay, I knew that this whole thing wouldn't take more than a day or two at most. Even if I went slowly. And with my increased fortitude, I knew I would make it even if I didn't wind up finding food or water. Boosting fortitude also made it a bit tougher to hurt physically. And while I was pretty good at not getting hit, I did like the idea of being able to tank the ants a bit better. Besides, the less aura I used for healing after a battle when I used auric extraction, the better, because it meant I had more aura at my disposal. That said, I also used all my skill points to level auric extraction to level 4 as well so I could pull more aura out of my targets. Well, that seems like it was the last scout ant, I said to no one in particular as I looked around the horizon. There were no more glowing dots in my overlay, at least not ones that weren't closer to the central pack. Nodding to myself, I started making my way toward the least dense cluster of ants that I could find. From the look of my overlay, it seemed like it was only a group of 2 or 3, and as I approached them, it became obvious why they were grouped in clusters sporadically placed around the denser section of ants. Giant sentry ant. Its name was also in white, so normally I wouldn't have been too worried, but being that there were 2 of them standing next to one another, that would make things a bit iffy. It made me wish I had some kind of snare skill. If I did, I could root one to the ground and then deal with the other one at my leisure. I spent the next few moments trying to think of a way I could divide and conquer the ants, but came up with nothing really usable. There simply wasn't a lot available to use as far as the surroundings went. As I'd said before, there was just dirt, dirt, and more dirt. Still, I had a tiny inkling of an idea, and if it didn't work, well, I'd still be in the same spot of having to deal with two ants at once. I quickly pulled off my hoodie and placed it into my inventory before pulling off my t-shirt. Then I used one of the mandibles I'd been using like a crude dagger to cut a piece of the shirt into a strip about 4 inches by 2 inches. Then I punched a hole into the top and the bottom on both of the 4-inch sides about a half inch in. That done, I made another set of holes on each side about 2 inches farther into the center. Once that was finished, I set my rectangle down and cut 4 long thin strips, separated them into pairs, and then braided them together until I had some semi-strong t-shirt rope. Next, I threaded one of my ropes through all 4 holes on the top of my rectangle and the other through the bottom of the rectangle. It took a bit of doing since the ends were a touch frayed, and I had to go up through the first hole, down through the second hole, back up through the third hole, before coming back down through the fourth hole, and I had to do it once for both the top and bottom. That done, I pulled on the ropes until I had equal lengths of rope on both the bottom and top of each side. Then I made a loop with the top rope so I could fit it around my hand and wrist. Once I had it adjusted to my liking, I made a hitch knot and further adjusted it. Satisfied, I took the bottom rope and tied a knot that I could easily grab while not having any slack in either it or the one tied to my wrist. A moment later, I stared at my sling and smiled. While I wasn't sure if my crude, 2-cord sling would actually work, I had no reason to think it wouldn't. After all, it had worked just fine when I'd taken that month-long survival course out in the Appalachians, during the hours I'd spent practicing, and in the numerous times I'd used it in-game since then. I just normally hadn't made it with my t-shirt. Still, now it was time to try it out. I grabbed the knot between my thumb and forefinger so that my rectangle formed a hanging pouch. Then I took one of the pebbles I'd collected and placed it in my pouch. Taking a deep breath, I moved a bit farther from the ants so I could practice. After all, this was real, not a game, and I likely wouldn't get a second chance. That said, it was surprising how well my muscle memory remembered how to use the sling. Without thinking, I swung my arm forward in an underhand arc and released my hold on the knot just as the pouch reached a 45-degree angle. The rock flew off into the distance with a surprising amount of power, pretty much where I wanted it to go. Perfect. I spent the next few minutes using the sling before I was satisfied that I had it down. Then I crept back up to the ridge so I could look at the pair of sentry ants standing guard over their little patch of dirt. It was strange. After my first couple encounters with the giant scout ants, I'd stopped being anxious. But here I was again, all nerves. I took a deep breath to center myself, and then shoved my feelings down and focused on my task. I carefully selected the biggest pebble I'd found, barely the size of a $0.50, and placed it in my sling. Then I stood and focused on the closer of the two ants. I took a couple quick steps as I readied my throw, focused on using aura infusion to add extra oomph to my attack, and let the rock fly. It whistled through the air like a fucking meteor and struck the ant hard on the right eye with a sound like a fucking gunshot. The blow rocked the creature to the side, and as it started to slump, I already had my second rock out. I shifted my hips and let this one fly at its partner. While the one I'd struck initially was definitely down, if not out, the second one was already on the move. My rock caught it between both antennas with enough force to send a spider web of cracks out across its hard outer shell. It stumbled as I reloaded another rock and let it fly. This one caught it right above the mandibles, and the sound was like cracking glass. The creature reared back in pain, and as it did, I slung my third rock at it. This one caught it on the underside of its thorax, and as it slumped to the ground, I grabbed my mandibles and charged the hill while pumping aura into my legs. I drove the weapon right into the creature's cracked thorax with all my strength, my momentum, and body weight could muster as I came down the hill. The blow sent the creature sliding back across the soft earth as my mandible sank deep into its body. The creature started to thrash, but I willed another mandible to appear in my hand from my inventory as I struck out in a blow that brought it down on the creature's already cracked head. As the mandible cut through its cracked chitin shell like a hot knife through butter, I drove the heel of my other hand onto the back of it and hammered it into the soft flesh beneath.
You have killed creature, giant sentry ant.
Satisfied, I pulled another pair of mandibles from my inventory and sprinted toward the first ant I'd hit. The creature was still lying stunned on the ground, but was obviously still alive. That said, a quick few cuts to the joints between its head and thorax ended that problem.
You have learned the skill, projectile weapons. Primitive. Increasing your skill will increase your damage, accuracy, and range. You have leveled up. You gain 3 stat points and 1 skill point to distribute. You have reached level 5. Your special skill is now available.
Sweet, I said, as I opened the flashing prompt in the corner of my vision to see what special skill I had been granted.
Archetype. When auric extraction is used on a new enemy, its essence will be recorded for later use.
Interesting, I said with a nod. In Terra Forma, most special skills that weren't pre-selected were randomly generated upon creation and could definitely have interesting effects. So it was no surprise that I hadn't seen this one before. While it wasn't a super useful skill right now, I knew it would be once I was back in my own realm, because with it, I could use it to create creatures for my new world. That would save me the trouble of transporting creatures from other worlds and breeding them incessantly. Or at least I hoped it would. Satisfied, I used my new skill point on auric extraction because special skills couldn't be leveled, and then proceeded to add 2 of my new skill points to intelligence and 1 to fortitude. Then I used auric extraction on the closest giant sentry ant. Like before, my aura bar refilled, and I felt my exertion leave me. But unlike every other time I'd done it before, I saw a new message.
Pattern. Giant sentry ant has been learned. Would you like to create a giant sentry ant?